From kickoff to the final whistle, your front row seat to college football lives here on 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in with us on the phone lines or the Adams Co. Roofing text line. Texter gets in and says, I'll give you a player's name I'd like to have, KC Concepcion out of the portal. He originally wanted Clemson before NC State, but I guess Clemson wasn't interested either time. He is a proven player. While I agree that he is a proven player that's very dynamic, I just don't, like, this is part of the thing. Where is he fitting? Why would he choose Clemson in the portal when Antonio Williams is a projected day one, day two NFL pick, and he plays his position of slot receiver, and then the backup at that position of the slot receiver is Tyler Brown, who still has 3 years of eligibility in the bank and was a freshman All-American 2 years ago. So, like, I love Concepcion the player. I think he's a phenomenal player. I think your point of getting a proven player, sure, yes. Where is he fitting in the Clemson wide receiver room? Because I don't know what the answer to that question would be. John, any additional commentary before we take a bevy of phone calls?
I do appreciate the putting in the name after the question I posed there in the last segment. But I just, you know, would that be the type of person that you want to blow up the whole wide receiver room that Tyler Grisham has put multiple years of work in for 1 year on a player?
And that's also coming with a pretty tag. Penny.
Right, right. That, I just don't think that would have ever, that would have worked.
Yeah. Another texter gets in and says, a lot of people unhappy with Gideon's usage, 5 carries in 2 games, both close games. The greatest ACC running back ever, meaning ETN, had 8 carries through 2 games, 0 touches against Auburn week 2, got 8 carries in a 56-3 win against Kent State. I don't know why the fan base thought Gideon would be any different. He'd be fine. It's encouraging to hear some rationality on the text line on Gideon Davidson. Well, again, like, he's a true freshman that's 18 years old, and he will get there at some point for this team. It's not right now.
Do you feel like the obstacles that were ahead of Travis Etienne were harder or easier for him to surpass than Adam Randall for Gideon Davidson?
Probably harder, I would say. Probably harder.
For Gideon, yeah.
Yeah, I would say it's probably harder.
Because I don't think, like, if I remember correctly, that room was Tavian Feaster?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I think that was an easier opportunity for Travis to climb the depth chart quicker than it is for Gideon right now.
Yeah.
But that's also, we're operating off of hindsight. So
before we take a quick phone call, I do want to just kind of address something real quick on the text line. I'm always seeing online criticism, and this is what Steven says, and he's being very respectful about it, but he's right about this. I just want to kind of shut down this because it's more of a narrative than the truth. Texter gets in and says, I'm always seeing online criticism about Dabo hiring his buddies, past players, family members, etc. How does Dabo's staff compare to others? Is it commonplace for this type of hiring in D1? I think this is a narrative that's gotten a little bit just out of control. Garrett Riley is the offensive coordinator. He is an outside hire from outside of the program. And that's your coordinator on the offensive side of the ball. Your O-line coach is Matt Luke. You hired him from outside of the program. This is not like a friends and family. On the defensive side of the ball, Tom Allen, you know, Nick Eason, Reed, Coach Kahn was at Grayson and terrorizing my high school for ages. Like, all of these guys have their credentials for the most part on both sides of the football. So I get that, like, that's been a narrative that's been taken and kind of ran with, but your offensive coordinator is an outside hire and your defensive coordinator is an outside hire. Those guys are calling plays on every single down of every single game for Clemson this year, and neither of them came from within the program, and I don't think you need to look any further than that. Like, Rumpf, again, like, NFL credentials. Eason would coach anywhere in the country. Kahn has won a bajillion state championships at the highest level in high school ranks, and he's put a ton of dudes in the NFL. Same for Mike Reed.
I think if you want to use that narrative, I would hop into a time machine and go back to 2022 to use it.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of issues with this team and program right now? Absolutely. But I don't think that if you want to trot out the friends and family narrative in 2025 as the number one reason for the issues with this program, I think that narrative is misplaced.
I agree. And I also think that this is the best coaching staff Dabo Swinney has had since arguably 2018 or 2019. I think Clemson's coaching staff's in a really good place from top to bottom right now. They've got to execute and they've got to play better. It's as simple as that. They got to coach better. They got to execute better. They got to play better. Everybody deserves blame. You have a chance to rewrite some narratives this upcoming Saturday against Georgia Tech. And if you go down there and you stomp on the Yellow Jackets, who are a good team this weekend, then I think the outlook's going to be a lot different next Monday morning here on the phone and the text lines. But you got to go play like a top 15 team in the country, which is what you're currently billed as. Let's get Billy and Greer in here. 654 Roar is the number. Billy, always a pleasure.
Hey, Facts. Hopefully you and John are having a great day. Just wanted to touch on, you know, James calling in, his topic that he was talking about. Apparently we pull for the same team, so let's start with the mediocre first, and I don't say bad for a reason, and you'll get it in a few minutes. The Dallas Cowboys, you know, going into the year, Facts, I thought that they would probably win 6 or 8 games. That was prior to the Parsons trade. After the Parsons trade, I thought 4 or 5. I thought they were going to get killed in that Philly game, to be quite frank, and they didn't. That disappointed me, because in order to change the narrative, you've got to get bad to get good. That's just the way the NFL is set up. You don't build through free agency. You complement through free agency. And, you know, they did do a little complimenting this year, but it was too little too late. When their roster was probably one of the top 3 or 4 rosters, you know, in 21, 22, 23, they didn't do as much of it. So that's okay, but what worries me is they're gonna win 8 games, be the first or second team that didn't make the playoffs, and still be picking middle of the pack. That's a recipe just to be mediocre for the rest of, you know, for existence. So, you know, I know you was talking about it last year. I called in at the end of the year, I guess technically earlier this year, but about Dallas and how bad they were, and you know, I kept saying, well, they're not terrible, and that's the problem. You know, it wasn't that long ago, you being an Eagles fan, when you guys had Kelly running not only the coach, but he was also the acting GM, and you guys were terrible.
Oh, man.
And you hit rock bottom, and then you had to get better. There was no other choice. And see, that's not happening in Dallas, and that's what scares me. I just think they're destined to be, at least for the foreseeable future, let's say 2 to 3 years, you know, they're going to be in that 8-win range. I hope that I'm wrong. We'll see.
Yeah, I feel like hitting rock bottom is necessary sometimes, and that's kind of what you saw with the Chip Kelly era. And then we kind of hit rock bottom again with Howie screwing up the cap situation and the roster situation so bad and leaving Carson Wentz out there to die for a couple years, but we were able to flip it once again. But I agree with you, Billy. Like, I think you have to be really bad at least for a year or two to return to being elite, which has always been kind of my hesitation with the Steelers on the AFC side, which is like, they're good enough every year, but you need some premium talent that comes from the upper echelon of the draft at some point if you ever want to win the Super Bowl again.
It's rare that you're getting elite talent outside of the top 5 picks.
Yes.
I mean, it happens. You know, those are the years where there's quarterbacks galore and they're taking, you know, 6 or 7 quarterbacks that probably only 1 or 2 of them deserve to be in the top 5.
Yes.
And that's how Dallas landed with Parsons, honestly. You know, there was quite a few quarterbacks taken, and he just kept dropping. And I think they ended up – I don't think they picked him outside of the top 10, but I know it wasn't in the top 5. So they got lucky on that. So we'll see. You know, a lot remains to be seen. I could see them making the playoffs, but are they going to get past the divisional round? I don't think nobody in their right mind is going to pick that. And I don't – you know, so what's the point? Anyway, you know – that's my point on Dallas. The South Carolina thing, I'll be a little more optimistic. Yeah, they haven't looked great. There's no doubt about that. I'd be the first, you know, I thought there was concerns from Virginia Tech, and there was even more concerns following this game. But I will say, if you go back and watch film of the old Dominion game, they were absolutely horrendous in that game. And coming out of that game, you would have been a fool not to think they was going to only win 3 or 4 games, looking at the schedule last year. They've looked better than that at any point so far this year. So, and they did grow. If you go and look at the progression, I distinctly remember calling you guys, and I can't remember the guy that called in and said they were going to win the rest of their games, and obviously they ended up winning them all. I thought they would probably go 4-2 at that point, or 5-1. I didn't think they was going to win every one of them. And I was optimistic going into the season. I had them going 7-5, and you know, a lot of people thought I was damn fools, but but I was 2 games off. That's not good in a 12-game sample size. So,
yeah.
Having said all that, you know – this weekend for both in-state schools, honestly, is going to teach us a lot, because I think Georgia Tech is underrated still, and I know that Vanderbilt is.
Yes, so, I think GT and Vandy are really good teams, and I think Clemson and South Carolina are sharing some similar issues with figuring out identity on the offensive side of the ball. The big difference, though, Billy, is that this is year three of the same coordinator here at Clemson, and you guys have a new one down at South Carolina. So I think that's why a lot of the Clemson fan base is really frustrated right now with some of those offensive struggles.
Yeah, and I agree with that. But, you know, here's the thing. It's hard to call good plays when you don't have proper blocking.
Yes.
I don't care who your offensive coaches are. If you cannot block up front, it deviates everything from that point forward.
Yes.
And that's been a problem at Clemson from what I've seen, and it's definitely been a problem in Columbia. Now, what I'm hoping is they're going to right the ship, and in Columbia I'm talking about, they tried to be somewhat vanilla, knowing that they're going to have to save something for later. We'll see. I don't know. I think their ceiling is higher than people think it is, but I also see where their floor is now. And listen, if they were to mess up and lose either the Missouri game or this Vanderbilt game, then 7-5 is, or even 6-6 is not out of the realm of possibilities, like you guys talked, about the last month or so.
Yeah.
You know, I called in with you, I guess, in June and talked about 9-3. I'm sticking with that, but with the caveat that they got to block better. If they don't, then they're looking square at 7-5. I would acknowledge that. Anyway, I appreciate your time, Fax. You have a good day. I'll talk to you later.
Of course. Thank you, Billy. You're always welcome on the program. You know that. And, yeah, I think that South Carolina and Clemson are sharing some of the same issues right now on the offensive side of the ball, related primarily to blocking. You got to keep Sellers upright. You got to keep Cade upright. If you can keep those guys comfortable, they're two of the best in the country. If not, then the floor of the team is a lot lower than anticipated in both Columbia and here in the upstate. Let's get to Tim and Greer on the phone lines now. Tim, good to hear from you. We appreciate you checking in.
Hey, Faxon. Hey, John. How are y'all today?
Doing well. Very blessed. How are you?
I'm doing really good, man. Honestly, like, we could sit here and analyze the team all day, every day. And, I mean, that's what we all listen for, right? But I just wanted to share. I've been a Clemson fan my whole life. I just wanted to share a feel-good story from Saturday, man. So, just like probably every other Clemson fan on earth, I was so frustrated in the first half. I was watching the game in my bedroom. And I was folding clothes, just trying to channel the anger into something positive, right? And then, and then by halftime, I was ready to, I don't know, I was just ready to give up. And then, so I moved into the living room, and my 2-year-old and my 4-year-old were in there with me, and we were watching the game. And I happened to sit down, and I was holding my water cup. And then that's when, I don't know, Kay just started slinging it, and we scored our first touchdown. And I never moved from that spot. And I did not let go of my water cup the entire time, and every single time. I'm not superstitious. I'm not saying I was the reason that we won. But I just thought it was an interesting coincidence. And every single time we scored, or every single time we got a interception or a stop on defense, I got up, I started yelling, I would high-five the boys, and we just had a good old time in the second half. So, I don't know. I thought it was worth it, and I think there's still a lot of room to grow in this Clemson team, and I still believe in our guys. I still believe in our guys too.
And so Tim's water cup is what changed the tides of Death Valley on Saturday. That's what I'm hearing, Tim. So we're gonna give you the credit where it's due, and we appreciate your service at home, man. We don't know if we could have done it without you.
Well, I don't know that it's all that, but I'm just glad to see the Tigers win, buddy.
Yes, sir. And, hey, I'm right there with you that this team's still got all their goals to play for right in front of them. We obviously need to see some improvement and some steps in the right direction, but I think Clemson's got the Jimmies and the Joes this year, and it's just about going out there and executing and blocking for our quarterback and getting open for our quarterback and hoping that he plays a little bit better. So I think Clemson's in a good position heading into Saturday, and they're going to get tested, and we're going to learn a lot about this football team.
Absolutely. So a quick question, then I'll take the comments off the air. What happened? I didn't pay much attention to the Georgia Tech game this weekend, but what happened to Haynes King? Because I saw Philo came in. What happened to Haynes King? Is he going to be playing this weekend? And just let me know what you think.
Yeah, appreciate it, Tim. Thanks for getting in. So that is the topic of itinerary here, you know. Haynes King did not play this past Saturday for Georgia Tech against Gardner-Webb, and promptly Georgia Tech had a record-breaking day of offense. They put up almost 700 yards. It was the third most yards in the history of Georgia Tech football. Aaron Philo, it was his first career start, and he is already into the top five in Georgia Tech career passing yards in a single game, or I should say single game passing yards, not career there for Philo. So he's already thrown for more yards in his first start than Haynes King has ever thrown in a game. And I think that you guys are starting to see now, because I saw it as well on Twitter a little bit, my take from 3 months ago in Charlotte was not just complete BS that I was spewing. It's what I believe. I think that this is a better football team when Aaron Filo is the quarterback, and I think that's showcased with the fact that he's had one start and they're breaking records offensively. So with that being said, I don't think Haynes King is a bad player. I just think he's a limited player, but he is a player that's capable of beating Clemson with his play style if the attention to detail isn't there. And now I think Brent Key is in the perfect spot to game plan and prep for this upcoming matchup, John, because guess what? You have one tape of QB, one game tape on one QB, one game tape on another QB. We've seen them play both and pull some big upsets playing both last year. Miami, the number four team in the country, came into Bobby Dodd, and Filo and King both played and beat him. So now Clemson's got a whole other quarterback and style of offense to prepare for this upcoming Saturday. And in my opinion, John, that just adds even more stress to this matchup against Georgia Tech. Your thoughts?
It does. It certainly adds more pressure on the defense. I think it certainly adds a lot more prep going in. And, you know, I think this presents a very interesting week for, like, a Mason Kelly, for example.
Yeah.
You know, if, as we saw last week, Tom Allen went to Jamal Anderson playing the Sam and didn't go with the true nickel a lot in this game. Like, that's something I'm going to be, you know, trying to pay attention to over the course of this week. What do we think that you're going to try to do, more of a traditional 4-3 or more of the 4-2-5 we've seen as of late? And I think depending on what quarterback Tech rolls out there is going to be a very big indicator from a personnel standpoint what you see Clemson try to run.
Yeah, Filo was 21 for 28 for 373 yards and a touchdown and did not play the majority of the fourth quarter last weekend in Atlanta. The third most yards in the history of Georgia Tech football. Aaron Filo's first career start vaults him into the top five in single-game passing yards in GTQB history, and he has now thrown for more yards in his first career start than Haynes King has ever thrown for in 6 years of college football in a single game. So definitely a different game plan now with Filo potentially in the fray. I'd anticipate to see both. We can walk out some of that on the other side of a quick break. Doing our best to get to all these phone calls. We've got Jason, John, and Johnny on the phone lines. If you guys stick with us, we're coming right to the phone lines again after this.
60 years is a long time, especially when you're talking about how long a company has been in business. But that's exactly how long Joe Roberson and Son have been servicing and installing roofs right here in the upstate. 60 years. That means that many of the roofs you see every day, your neighbors, the roof at your favorite restaurant, or even the roofs you're driving past right now are likely a Joe Roberson and Son roof. Now you might be wondering why so many people here in the upstate have chosen Joe Roberson and Son for their roofing needs for six decades. And the answer is simple. They were founded on the principles of providing quality workmanship, fair pricing, and complete customer satisfaction. When you work with them, you won't pay a single dime until the job's been completed to your satisfaction. So if you have any roofing needs, do what so many people in the upstate have done for the past 60 years. Make it a Joe Roberson and Son roof. Call 246-0886. That's 246-0886. Or visit robersonroofing.net.
Accidents happen. If you've been injured in a car, motorcycle, or boating accident, you need to seek legal help as soon as possible. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, can evaluate your case to help you get the full compensation you deserve. The call and the consultation are completely free. Don't wait. Call today. 864-654-3680. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, here for you.
At Ben Mason Insurance, we don't just provide insurance, we offer peace of mind to our upstate community. Whether it's auto insurance, home insurance, or life insurance, we're dedicated to safeguarding what matters most. Located at 188 Blaylock Road, Boiling Springs, we're here and ready to serve you. Call us today, 864-578-7100, and let us tailor a policy that fits your needs. Ben Mason Insurance, your trusted partner in protection.
Don't miss out on this week's specials at Buff City Soap. With products for everyone, corporate gifts, pet products, laundry soap, seasonal scents, and more. Follow Buff City Soap Clemson and Buff City Soap Greenville on Facebook and Instagram for the latest sales and updates.
Hey Clemson fans, college football is back. And to celebrate, Engineered Sleep is having a Labor Day mattress sale. Starting Monday, August 25th until September 14th, find some time between football games to make it out to Engineered Sleep. They have brand new products for you to see and huge in-store savings. Engineered Sleep keeps it simple and easy, just like mattress buying should be. You have to check them out on 333 North Pleasantburg Drive in Greenville. across from Krispy Kreme.
William Nichols from Scores Jewelers. You know, I'm very fortunate to work in an industry that's almost entirely focused on celebrating life's good times and milestones. Like the anniversary highlighting 5, 10, 15 years or more spent with your best friend, birthdays and Christmases, and maybe the biggest day of all, the marriage of two people. Her engagement ring is more than just a diamond and a piece of gold. On the day it's given as a gift, it becomes a meaningful symbol marking the start of your new life together. In a few years, you won't remember the price tag on her engagement ring, but you will remember that look on her face when you open the box. That moment of sheer joy and excitement that says so many things to her that you could never express in words. This is the true value of a ring. The reason these things are handed down from one generation to the next. She's the one. Show her with the ring from Scores Jewelers. We'll help you find or make the perfect ring that says everything you want to say the moment you open the box for her. I'm William Nichols of Scores Jewelers in Anderson and online at scoresdiamondjewelers.com, and I want to be your jeweler.
Looking for a tractor that works as hard as you do? Come to Mahindra of Anderson, your local source for the toughest, most reliable tractors on the market. Whether you're working the farm, maintaining your property, or need heavy-duty power, Mahindra has the perfect tractor, UTV, implement, or trailer for the job. Buy it new, shop pre-owned, schedule your service appointment, or order parts with the best customer service right here in the upstate of South Carolina. Visit Mahindra of Anderson at 507 Pierman Dairy Road or online at mahindraofanderson.com.
Nobody does dual enrollment like Tri-County Technical College. It's never too early for you and your child to think about college. The dual enrollment program at TCTC offers the opportunity to take two or more dual enrollment classes, and it's a cost-effective way to earn college credit. Your student can get a jump start on college, saving time and money. You and your child have options, so why not discover what dual enrollment at Tri-County can do for you? Find out more at tctc.edu/DE.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Hi, I'm Chef Franklin Becker. You know the jingle. Now discover the facts about Ozempic, a GLP-1. There's only one FDA-approved Ozempic, made by Novo Nordisk. Learn about the real thing.
Talk to your healthcare professional today. Call 1-833-OZEMPIC or visit Ozempic.com to view the medication guide and to learn more about Ozempic. Semaglutide injection 0.5, 1, and 2 milligrams.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber. We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Get your questions in daily on the Adams & Co. Roofing text line at 654-ROAR. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome you back in, everybody. Final hour of the program continues with Faxon and John right here on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in with us. Phone lines are slam-packed. We're going to try and get to everybody here in this segment. We're going to hop to Will Vandevort first on our phone lines. Willie V, you got to be feeling like $1 million after yesterday, man. Congratulations on the first win of the season for your Steelers.
Yeah, guys, that's why I was calling, because, man, I want you guys to talk. I want to hear John's opinion because I know, like me, Z watched every play of it. Your thoughts, John, just on Aaron Rodgers and the offense. I mean, so facts to the know, because you know he, as any good fan would do, he's going to just follow his Eagles and only know what the Eagles are doing, really.
Sure.
But just the Steelers last year, they closed the season with 5 straight games where they only averaged 14 points a game on offense, and you got 34 against. Remind people, the Jets always have sucked on offense, but their defenses are always really good. That's supposed to be a really good defense this year. And Steelers just scored 34 on them on the road.
your thoughts, John. I was excited about that from that standpoint.
I was certainly excited about the four passing touchdowns. I was certainly excited about the win. But, Willie V, maybe you're the one person out here in the upstate who can answer my biggest concern. Can one of the teams that I pull for commit to running the football for four quarters in a football game? That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
Arthur Smith not committing to the run game was shocking to see in real time.
Well, but some of that was Aaron Rodgers changing things at the line of scrimmage by what he saw the Jets were doing. And so he recognized it. If you look, you can see a couple of things that he changes, especially on the two of those touchdown passes.
Right.
That was just him changing the play. So I think some of it's that. And then some of it was the fact that the Jets were sold out on stopping the run. And that's their mantra this year. They want to stop the run, be physical, and then run the football. They were so sold out on it. I think Aaron Rodgers played the play action beautifully. He's like, well, if they're going to sell out on it, I'd be honest with you, you love to see Clemson do the same thing. Like, if a team's going to sell out on the run to shut you down and they're loading the box and they're trying to shut you down, play action off of it. Now, granted, Aaron Rodgers is a future Hall of Fame quarterback and knows what he's seeing every time. But I think a lot of that was just Aaron Rodgers adjusting to it, John. So I'm somewhat concerned because, you know, yeah, you need to run for more than 53 yards, but if they're going to still, the defenses are still going to take, you know, play the play action, then you're going to see guys like we saw yesterday running wide open, and Aaron Rodgers is going to find them.
Willie V, were you terrified after the first play on offense yesterday that the whole thing was just going to be a giant waste of time? Because I was.
Oh, my. Yes. The sack on the first play. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, the pit in my stomach where it's a, oh, my gosh, everybody who hates Aaron Rodgers is so right.
I was so hyped up, and then, that happens, and then I'm just, sitting down in my recliner, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is not going to be a good day, I think. You know, and then, but, yeah, you went right down the field and scored after that. We played well on third down. Now, here's my concern, but I'm not too worried about it yet because nobody on defense played in the preseason. Like, none of their starters played. And so I think you saw that yesterday, especially those first couple quarters where the Jets were just breaking tackles and running the football downhill. And so that's a little concerning to me. I'm giving up 182 yards rushing. But, again, they didn't play much in the preseason. This is their first real action for all those starters on defense. And when they had to make plays yesterday, they got the stop to get the ball back to go win the game, right? And then they got the stop. Actually, they got the last three stops. The last three times the Jets had the ball, the Steelers stopped them, right? And to get the ball back, or maybe it's last two. But anyway, you got to stop there to get the ball back to win the game. I was happy to see that. And then you get to stop at the end of the game with the slobber knocker. Let me look like I'm Mel Blunt from Jalen Ramsey, you know, just knocking the crap out of a wide receiver. And I thank you, NFL, for not throwing a flag because it was such a good hit. I just like, oh, they're going to throw a flag on this because it was too good of a hit, right? And but luckily they saw that it was a perfectly well-timed hit and it was good football play and they allowed it as they should have. And so I'm ecstatic about the win. I know it's the Jets and it's the first game of the season and all that stuff, but, man, it was fun to see and it got me a little bit of hope, John, because they scored 34 points.
It was nice to see, and maybe now that, you know, obviously I know it takes time for, you know, checks to process with a bank, so now that Cam Hayward's money should be hitting his account this week for next Sunday, then maybe the defense will take another step forward next week.
Well, let's hope so, buddy. Let's hope so. It's going to be a fun week, and I know you guys talk about Clemson. Obviously a lot of concerns there. I think the offense and the offensive line, and I think Dabo said it best. You know, they went to the gap scheme because, you know, they saw what Troy was doing and you saw the adjustments there. So good adjustments there in the second half to run the football and just run the ball downhill. You know, and so now you're going to have a more difficult challenge this week. Everybody, you can say what you want to about, and you're going to have to worry about Haynes King. What's he going to do? And or are they going to go with Philo, factions guy that he likes to make Haynes King mad? So, we'll see what they're going to do here this week. But I'm more concerned, if you're a Clemson person, you got to be more concerned about what the offense is going to do because Tech, they've watched the film. They got good coaches over there. They saw what was giving Clemson issues, not only with Troy but also LSU. They're going to bring it. And so if Clemson's going to win this game, it's going to be on Cade Klubnik's and his offense's hands. They're the one If those guys play like they did against the last 2 weeks, then Clemson will not win this game against Georgia Tech. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, I think that's more than fair. Well, Willie V, we appreciate you checking in, and keep riding high. I know you'd take another Clemson and Steelers win this upcoming weekend if it was offered to you. So bask in it with the win, and Rodgers looked great, man.
All right, appreciate it, man. It's good to know that Pittsburgh now, once again, has the best quarterback in the state of Pennsylvania. It's great.
Preach it, Willie V, preach it.
What's crazy is that our quarterback has as many Super Bowls as yours, and he can't even throw the ball is the crazy part. That's absolutely wild. Hey, Will, we do appreciate you getting in, though. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, buddy. We'll
yes,
talk
sir.
To you later, guys.
We'll
Bye.
See you soon. Always going to have some fun on Eagles-Steelers, obviously, with Willie V, but we appreciate him checking in. Yeah, John, before we head to Jason in Columbia, anything else to add on your Steelers? I know we'll talk a little NFL in the last segment, but I think the defense will get there. I'm not super concerned about it. On the Jets front, Justin Fields did look pretty sharp. I do have to give credit where it's due. He looked pretty good in his first game with the Jets.
He did. I think Breece Hall was the most exciting thing to see from the Jets offense. You know, we're talking about Arthur Smith there real quick, and we'll move on here because no one wants to hear me talk about the Steelers. Very Arthur Smith fashion, you go out and trade for a third tight end this offseason in Jonnu Smith, and he has 5 catches on 6 targets for 15 yards. Let's go. We're playing the hits. We're playing the hits.
Gosh almighty. Arthur Smith and Jonnu Smith has to be studied. That relationship has to be studied one day. I don't know what he's doing to get on the call sheet as much as he is, but he's on there regardless of where Arthur Smith's at. Texter 383 gets in with some Steelers-related commentary. Can we please trade Broderick Jones for a bag of chips, send him to China, Zimbabwe, anywhere but Pittsburgh? Not a darn good dog, a darn bad dog.
Very, very bad dog. Out of all the things that 983 has gotten in with this morning, that is the thing I agree with the most. I mean, out of all the offensive linemen to come out of the University of Georgia, of course Pittsburgh picks the one who can't translate to the pros. My goodness, he has been atrocious.
Yeah.
We were joking with Willie V about the first play of the game and Aaron Rodgers getting sacked. All on Broderick Jones. All on him.
Yes.
Still has no idea how to play left tackle.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. You know, the Eagles have never had issues with drafting Georgia players, so I can't say I relate.
Well,
of maybe
I don't
Khalil
know about
Ringo.
Never. if we're going to remove issues. Hawk and Loogies, yeah, then, you know, maybe everything's fine.
I was going to say, on the football field is one thing.
We literally just had a Georgia player get ejected from a game in, like, the first quarter of the first game of the season.
But Super Bowl champ. Super Bowl champ still won the game. Am I doing this right? Can my dog fans back me up?
You're not barking, but you're it's about as close as you're going to get.
We're just out there to win football games, and Kirby's got them ready to play, and Greg Sankey's the greatest in the history. Okay, let's get to Jason in Columbia in all seriousness. 654-ROAR is the number. Jason, good weekend for you as well, man. I know you had to be pleased with how everything went this past weekend for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to talk third-string tight ends, how about Jake Tungus coming off the bench to catch a YOLO ball into the end zone to save Brock Purdy there? Man, yeah. I tell you what, you know, Kittle comes out, goes right down the field, scores a touchdown, then pulls his hammy. I mean, I'm just in a nonstop hammy nightmare right now. And then Jennings gets hurt. So, I mean, you know, Brock, he really didn't have anybody to throw to except for Pearsall, and he threw 3 YOLO balls yesterday, 2 for terrible interceptions and 1 for the game-winning touchdown. But, hey, you know, on the – I think Billy called in, you know, his points are well taken. Certainly Clemson can't talk any smack right now, and South Carolina did look last year terrible to begin their season, and then they righted the ship. But I will say I did get a kick out of there were people calling in gassing up Virginia Tech after the first game, and I'm like, bro, Virginia Tech's had one winning season since 2019, and that was when they went 7-6. You typically don't get better when you lose both your defensive ends to the NFL. Your running back's playing with Trevor in Jacksonville. Your cornerback is going to the NFL, and the other one went to LSU, et cetera, off of a losing team. You typically don't get better. So it'll be interesting to see what Vanderbilt – I still would expect Carolina to win because at the end of the day, it's Vanderbilt. And Carolina's probably won a million times over them in a row. So, hey, on Clemson real quick, I don't know if you guys had a chance, Faxon and John, to watch Eric McClain's video breakdown. I love it when these guys who have knowledge of the game kind of help us fans out. And I tell you what, man, other than the point where Garrett Riley put in Chris Fazina to run that idiotic third down QB run in the red zone to start the game, I really do have more and more sympathy for Riley. I think this season so far has come down to 2 main things. The offensive line has been a train wreck. And Cade has just got the yips. he's not pulling the trigger. You know, he did improve in the second half, so maybe he can build on that momentum. But I just think right now, man, Riley is being so hamstrung by the performance of specifically the offensive line and his senior quarterback. And to me, that's the most alarming thing. I would much rather, hey, Cade, do like Brock Purdy and just let it fly, baby. And if you put in a couple of interceptions, we'll understand. But there are plays there to be made, and big plays with dudes getting open. So that's my main takeaway from Saturday's game, and really the first two games.
Yeah, I think the offensive line just straight up has to be better. And I don't think everything, you know, with the play calling is sunshine and rainbows by any means. But what I do know is that I'm having very 2023-esque discourse with a lot of people that I'm talking to about this football team right now, which is the O-line needs to start playing better before we can talk about any other element of the offense. I tend to agree with Cade. I actually thought Cade played a phenomenal second half after playing a pretty poor first half. But, you know, again, you need to keep the guy clean. You need to keep him upright, or at least give him enough time to make plays, you know, through the air and with his legs. And everything starts up front for Clemson, whether it's running the ball with Adam Randall, Ezzie Amume, Gideon Davidson, whoever's getting the carries and toting the rock for the Tigers. The offensive line needs to be paving way up front better and at a higher rate. And with Cade Klubnik in the passing game, the offensive line needs to do a better job keeping him upright and giving him time to throw to those receivers or to throw some people open or make plays with his legs. It all starts up front for the Tigers. It was the same discourse in 2023 when this quarterback and this team were both struggling, and they need to get it fixed sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and I'll just end with this. I want to give some props to Adam Randall. He's obviously not a natural running back. There are times where he's not seeing the right hole, maybe not as patient, but he came out in the second half and played hard and with some guts. And that's something that was lacking in the first half for certain. So I want to give him props. He was out there running like a man, and he was doing his best to put the team on his back.
Absolutely. Jason, we appreciate you checking in as always. Thanks for the phone call, and we'll catch up later this week.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Of course. 654-ROAR is the number. We're going around the horn here on Facts on Sports with Faxon and John on the Roar right after this.
Start your game day right here on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics as the Tigers travel down to Atlanta to take on the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Your broadcast day will start at 6 a.m. sharp as we'll get you ready for game day with the Tiger pregame show. Then we'll turn it over to Faxon Childers and his crew for the Tiger tailgate show at 9 o'clock. Don, Tim, and Reggie will have the call of the action. And then Donnell Clark and I, live in studio, will have the fifth quarter show for you to wrap up all of Saturday's action. Don't miss a moment of a Clemson game day right here on the Roar.
When reliability matters, trust American Doormasters. Is your garage door opener broken? One of the most common issues we handle is garage doors that suddenly stop working. At American Doormasters, we diagnose and fix problems like broken springs, offering professional service at a great price. Serving the upstate of South Carolina, we provide top-quality garage door installation and repair. Whatever your needs, call American Doormasters today at 864-990-3075 for prompt and professional service.
Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. If you want to potty like a rock star, you can with us. At Royal Flush Toilet Rentals, we offer construction porta-potty rentals, septic tank pumping, and luxury toilet trailers. Call 864-238-8800. We have two-stall, three-stall, and four-stall trailers for your corporate events, wedding parties, and special occasions. Call 864-238-8800. Royal Flush Toilet Rentals.
Embrace the horizon at Longview, Carolina, your private agri-hood in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. Home sites average over an acre, giving you the opportunity to own a piece of your very own mountain. With 50-mile panoramic views, a stone's throw from Easley, and a short drive from Clemson and Greenville, Longview, Carolina is your gateway to resilient living. Explore a life unbound. Visit longviewcarolina.com for your personal tour. Longview, Carolina, worlds apart, minutes away.
This is Leighton Covage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition, and go Tigers.
Injured at work? You don't have to face it alone. At Smith Jordan Law Firm, we fight to get you the workers' compensation you deserve. medical bills, lost wages, and stress, let us take that burden off your shoulders. With years of experience and real results, Smith Jordan Law is here for you. Call us today at Smith Jordan Law Firm at 864-343-2222 or visit smithjordan.com. Smith Jordan Law, protecting injured workers every step of the way. We are local attorneys with a proven track record.
Every decision counts, and IMS makes it easier. From motors and pumps to gearboxes and drives, Industrial Motor Service delivers proven solutions that save money, reduce downtime, and simplify purchasing. Whether you need a repair or a replacement, they've got you covered with clear quotes, quick responses, and decades of repair history to guide the right call. For 35 years, plant managers and procurement leaders have trusted Industrial Motor Service. IMS, your partner since 1989. Visit industrialmotorservice.com.
Hi, friends. I don't know about you, but I'm all about solutions, especially when it comes to life's biggest problems, like the health crisis that America is facing right now. That's why I'm so excited about my great experience with PhD Weight Loss. Their patients drop up to a third of their body weight without ever taking those weight loss drugs. In fact, just the opposite. PhD clients learn how to turn their bodies into fat-burning machines using real food, behavioral coaching, and a proven science. These are habits that last a lifetime. I'm talking forever. I hope you'll get in touch with my great friends at PhD Weight Loss here in the Greenville office. Tell them that Mike V from The Roar sent you and that you want to learn how PhD Weight Loss helps you wake up your own metabolism so that your body produces its own weight loss hormones. If you're already on a weight loss drug and want to transition off, Dr. Ashley Lucas and her great team can help. Give them a call at 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or go to myphdweightloss.com.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
Hey, it's Walt. Forget the 12-hour drive to Buffalo. Moretti's Pizzeria and Bar in Walden is serving the real deal. Stone oven pizza, thicker than New York City. Never doughy, just that perfect crust. The wings, crispy, juicy, and loaded with that buttery, spicy buffalo kick. And if you've never had one, order the legendary beef on weck. You'll thank me later. Moretti's, just off I-385 on East Butler Road in Walden. Moretti's, where everyone's a regular.
The Roar. Better than any music you'll hear being put on hold. We promise. We are The Roar.
Kick it!
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Faxon and John continues right here on The Roar. It's the final segment of the program on a Monday. I want to tell you real quick about our friends at Chick-fil-A. We're in the heart of football season. Continue your tailgate traditions Clemson style with Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca. You can order your tailgating trays such as nuggets, strips, mac and cheese, or delicious cookies. Herb and Carol Tyler want to make sure they're a part of your Clemson tradition. You can call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655 or Seneca at 864-886-9080 to prepare for your game day. You can also order online at ilovechickfil-a.com or through the Chick-fil-A app. John, final segment of the program. We're going around the horn. Let's take Tom, the Buckeyes, phone call, and then we'll hop into some games from this past weekend. Tom, another big win for your Buckeyes this past weekend, and that might be the easiest one you ever get. Was it 70-0 up in Columbus?
I was pretty amazed by our depth. Really, I mean, our two deep was absolutely amazing. They got off the field. They played as good as the first string. As the season goes on, and, I don't know how much you learned.
Yeah.
You know, Sand was very sharp, except for the one interception he threw. You could kind of see it develop when the guy undercut the foul. Really impressed by the two deep, and also feel better about our chances against Michigan this year, just based on what I saw against Oklahoma.
Yeah, Michigan definitely does not have a ton of skill position talent, and agree with your assessment on Ohio State. But in that Michigan OU game, that was the main thing that stuck out. I do think the quarterback is going to be legit. I like Underwood. I thought he made some big-time throws and some big-time plays, but I'm just not sure the players around him are good enough to win this year up in Ann Arbor.
Right. That's kind of how I felt about it.
I'm gonna put Tom on hold real quick. I'm gonna have you tell him kind of what's going on, John, on the phone line. 654 Roar is the number. We're getting some breakup and some bad reception there, so we're gonna pivot to the text line for a few texts. So Texter gets in on some, asks for some thoughts on Bryce Young. Texter says, I personally don't see him being the QB next season for Carolina. We gotta address this at some point, and we gotta talk a little NFL. So let's go ahead and hop right into it. Obviously, I bought a lot of Panthers stock this offseason. It looks bad after week one, and I gotta watch the tape back from all these NFL games. So that's why we kind of saved some NFL talk for later in the week, but early signs would be very, very bad. PFF has put grades out. Austin Corbett at center had one of the worst graded games in NFL history. Their left tackle also was below a 40 PFF grade. The other three O-linemen played pretty well, but I was just disappointed in Carolina. I thought that this team was going to be able to run the ball at a lot higher of a rate. I do think Jacksonville has a pretty good infrastructure up front with their front seven. And I really do need to watch the tape back before I make any just like confirmed takes here on the airwaves. What I do know is that Xavier Leggett sucks at football. And I said this all of last season and throughout the entire course of the offseason. If he's taking snaps on your outside as your wide receiver too, it's going to be a long year in Carolina. You need to get Jalen Coker on whatever plan you can get him on to get him off of IR as soon as humanly possible, because I think Leggett really hinders what this offense can become. But Bryce has to play better, and you have to run the ball at a higher rate if you want to win games. So it's 1 week. I'm not going to sound the panic alarm button yet, but Jacksonville dominated Carolina yesterday and that one, John.
They most certainly did. It was absolute domination by the Jaguars. It was fun to watch if you were had Jags rooting interest yesterday.
Yeah, Trevor looked decent. I wouldn't say great. Again, wasn't really asked to do too much because Travis Etienne had 16 carries for 143 yards, and that was the main concern for me. We can have a conversation about the Carolina offense where there are concerns. If you give up 6.3 a clip, you're not winning anything this year in Carolina. So run defense has got to be significantly better. I thought the pass defense was fine. He did a good job keeping Travis Hunter, Brian Thomas Jr. in check for the most part. But you have to be tougher up front, and you have to be able to defend the run at a better rate. John, are you good with just speed running a couple of these NFL games from this past weekend here? Because there were a couple yesterday that caught my attention. Buccaneers and Falcons for starters. What a game. It feels like this game delivers absolute cinema every year. And Falcons fans, I'm sorry. It just feels like the same. I really do mean it when I say I'm sorry. Nobody deserves to be an Atlanta Falcons fan and the constant pain that kind of comes along with that, John.
Well, you can't say constant pain because the Falcons were 2-0 against the Buccaneers last year, and I'm not going to let you forget it.
That is true, but Younghoe Koo just choked another field goal at the end of the game. They got to pursue a different kicker. I was more disappointed in the defense's effort. Penix goes 18 plays, 91 yards, 9-minute drive. This is a grown freaking man football drive from Michael Penix Jr. He makes an incredible extended play to get past the line of scrimmage on fourth, and then he does it again to score a freaking touchdown to take the lead. I mean, this was one of the best drives that you will ever see in the NFL. 18 plays, 91 yards, 9 minutes, and the defense turns around and gives up a touchdown in 2 minutes. Or actually 1 minute, check that. 5 plays, 63 yards, 118 going the other way, John. And Baker just buzzes him right down the field. Egbuka catches the touchdown, and Younghoe Koo misses the game-tying field goal as time expires. These matchups are always electric. I really enjoyed watching this one, and I feel for my Falcons fans in the audience after this one.
A tough one for the Falcons, no doubt about it, but the Buccaneers still look like the team to beat in that division.
They look good. Buccaneers look good. Speaking of that division, nothing too much to call home about Cardinals and Saints. The Saints are not the team to beat in that division, and we know that much and have known it for a while. I don't know if we learned anything about either of these football teams in this one. I don't think any team is particular, or either of these teams, rather, are particularly good. A game in which we did learn a lot about a team, and a team that I started to buy some more stock into cautiously as we got closer and closer to this season. I think the Raiders, I'll reiterate it, I think the Raiders are going to be pretty darn good this year, John. Geno was slinging the pill. They looked like they were comfortable offensively. The run game never really got there with Jensy, but I'm not as concerned when your QB goes 24 for 34 for 362 yards and a touchdown. Raiders take it over the Pats 2013 on the road.
I'm not all that impressed by the victory. Drake May stinks, so he should have been able to get the job done.
That's true. He only put up 13 points in his opener. Sorry to our friend Grayson Mann at home in the audience. Earlier it got brought up, but I did want to talk about this once again and just kind of wrap back to it. For the life of me, I don't know how on earth the Cleveland Browns lost this game. Cleveland outgained Cincinnati 327-141. They doubled them up in first downs, John, 22-11. Third down efficiency, Cleveland converted at a higher rate. Fourth down efficiency, Cleveland converted at a higher rate. They ran almost 30 more plays than the Cincinnati Bengals did in this one. They had more passing yards. They had more rushing yards. They were more efficient in yards per pass. They were more efficient in yards per rush in the red zone. They had the same rate conversion as the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati had -7 net yards in the second half of this game and won 17-16. This is breaking my brain. How did the Browns lose? I mean, the Falcons is one thing. How did this team lose?
Well, I think it's, you know, pretty simple when you pull up the kicker. You missed it. You blew it. You blew it. You're the Browns. You can't, no matter how much good you do, you can't wash the Browns off of the Browns.
Yeah, that is true.
It's just upsetting that you're going to have a wedding take place here at this game. And you can't pull it off for the happy bride and groom? Come on.
Yeah, come on, man. Shame on you, Cleveland. Shame on you. Another stock up, I guess, to give of this past weekend. Daniel Jones looking pretty darn sharp. In Indianapolis, it was the Dolphins, though.
Yeah, Dolphins are bad.
Dolphins are really
They're real bad. Very, very, very bad.
Yeah, Tua turn the ball over is the most deserved nickname in the NFL world right now. 14 of 23 for 114 yards, one touchdown, two picks. Benched for Zach Wilson at one point. Devon A. Kane got it going a little bit, but they abandoned the run game. The receivers just couldn't necessarily get the ball to him as much as you would have hoped. And then on the flip side of things, Indianapolis took this one 33-8. Daniel Jones did admittedly look very sharp. I get that this is the Dolphins. I get that it's very early. I don't think that I'm buying stock into the Colts as a byproduct of this result, but it is worth acknowledging that he was 22 for 29 for 272 yards and a touchdown and added a pair more on the ground with his legs. So shout out to Daniel Jones for playing some darn good football this past weekend. A team and a player that I was disappointed in the most because I felt the game was winnable, the Giants had every opportunity to beat the Commanders and just could not get anything going on offense. I mean, this was a putrid offensive showing from New York. They had a couple play calling sequences inside the 10 that'll make your brain hurt. Russell Wilson, if you're letting Russ cook, he's burning down the kitchen at this point. I mean, it's a fire hazard. 17 of 37 for 168 yards, average yards per attempt of 4.5, QBR of 25.6. He lost a fumble. Not much more to add on this one. Bobby Okereke, the linebacker, played a phenomenal game, but 21-6 Commanders over Giants as New York just couldn't move the ball or score.
No, they couldn't. Offense is bad. Malik Nabers is already done with the Russell Wilson experience.
Yeah, I'm so sick of it already. That's just absolutely gross. We mentioned the 49ers got a win. Cam Ward's really good. The Titans are really bad. That's my takeaway from week one. Going back and looking at the tape, like, you're going to see 12. This is why you got to clue in a little more with the box score. Like with how Dak played last week, Cam Ward was 12 of 28 for 112 yards in his debut. His receivers probably left 150 yards on the field with drops. And I'm not even sure that's an exaggeration, including trying to push them down the field late in the game. And Calvin Ridley just drops one on the chest for about a 35-yard chunk play to get into plus territory. That was the play after he had another receiver drop a wide open ball. Brian Callahan's a really bad coach. This is going to be a really long year in Tennessee, but I did see about as many positive signs as you can get from Cam Ward in a game where his stats look putrid and you only put up 12 points. You need to get the young man some help. It's going to be a really, really long year.
Yeah, I don't feel like I learned a ton in this game. I knew he was good, knew the team was bad.
Bo Nix looks really, really bad yesterday with three turnovers. That would be another takeaway, was Denver did not look as crisp as I anticipated on the offensive side of the ball, so something to monitor going forward. Speaking of not looking crisp on the offensive side of the ball, my favorite stat from this past weekend, and I don't think he played bad because he was 31 for 39 for 225, one touchdown, one pick. Jared Goff is 3-17-1 in his career in games that his play caller is not Sean McVay or Ben Johnson. I'll repeat that. In his career, Jared Goff is 3-17-1 in games where his offensive coordinator or play caller was not Sean McVay or Ben Johnson. I think the regression tour is hitting Detroit this year. I said this in the preseason. I'm not all the way out. 22 carries for 46 yards is a massive concern for me because that's the identity of this team is running the football. And if Detroit can't run the football, Detroit can't win games. Stock up to the Packers. Parsons looked great, and that D-line is forceful.
Packers, it's one-game sample size, look like the team to beat in the NFC.
Yeah, agreed on the one-game sample size thing, too. We're running out of time, so we're going to have to talk tomorrow about Bills, Ravens, Texans, Rams, a bunch of these other games, which we'll cover. But, John, that was the best Sunday night football game I've seen in ages.
It was incredible. Josh Allen was fantastic. And I'm glad to know that we can start to settle the debate. Was it Jared Goff or was it Ben Johnson? Because tonight we get to watch Ben Johnson and his new bad team, the Chicago Bears, taking on the Minnesota Vikings for Monday Night Football this evening. You can watch that. Put it on mute because we will have the Hitch and Pitch High School Sports Report with Mike Vaughn from 7 to 8. And then at 8 o'clock, Tiger Hour with head coach Dabo Swinney from 8 to 9.
I hope Chad the Mailman's ears are perked somewhere in the audience. Give me the Bears tonight at Soldier Field holding it down in Ben Johnson's debut. I'm going to take Chicago tonight over Minnesota. Minnesota marginal favorite in that one, could go either way, but I'm fading J.J. McCarthy until he gives me a reason otherwise, so should be fun to watch that one. John, great job as always. Everybody that got in on the phone and the text lines, thank y'all as always. Passing the baton off to William Quackenbush and Ben Milstead with Out of Bounds. We'll see you at 9 a.m. tomorrow, everybody.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens.